I am so happy to be sharing with you our second On the Scene with Jamie Margolin. She is the guest, and you are going to hear some incredible things in the next 20 or 30 minutes. This is Gina Murphy Darling, aka Mrs. Green. And let me tell you a little bit about her before we start this podcast. She's 16 years old, and she does have a sense of humor. She wants to be Amazon, which are the warriors from Wonder Woman, in case you're wondering, it's not the company. And when she isn't pining to live in the fictional world of Wonder Woman, she is also a writer, a community organizer, activist, public speaker, and a sophomore in high school. She started her activism career when she was 14 and is now the founder and president of a national youth movement for climate justice called Zero Hour. And what that is putting on student mobilizations to call for an end to business as usual on climate change. And I don't know if you're ready for this. I wasn't quite ready for it. Jamie is also a plaintiff on the Children's Trust Youth versus Government lawsuit in her home state of Washington, D.C., suing her state for their active worsening of the climate crisis. She has been featured for her work with Zero Hour in Rolling Stone, Mother Jones, and Think Progress, just to name a few. And she has written op-eds about her activism and political analysis for the Refinery 29, CNN, HuffPost, and Teen Link, the Seattle Times, and I just keep wanting to say she's 16, and local publication. When she isn't trying to save the world, Jamie can be found reading, blowing her eardrums out to music, which she should not be doing, doodling, and drowning in her homework. I hope you enjoy our second On the Scene, and her message at the end might be the most important. Don't just like something, do something. Thanks. Welcome, Jamie Margolin, founder and president of Zero Hour. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
All things considered, right? When people ask me that, I say, well, yeah, but there's the reality and you're facing it every day. So talk...
Right.
Yes, right? I mean, there's always now in my heart that sadness of, yeah, I'm okay, but the clock is ticking and it is Zero Hour. So tell us about Zero Hour and tell us your story. It's an incredible one, a powerful one, and I want to share it with the world.
Okay, yeah. So I'm 16, and I am a sophomore in high school. And I started Zero Hour this past summer because I kept seeing in the media, you know, all these natural disasters and all of these horrible storms and climate and you know, deaths and all of these climate caused disasters, but the media wasn't reporting it as a climate emergency. They were just like, wow, what a coincidence. There was a giant hurricane that destroyed an entire, you know, the entirety of Puerto Rico. Oh, well. And it was really, really annoying to me that that connection wasn't made. And so it was that last summer of 2017 when I started Zero Hour. But let me backtrack a little bit about my background. So like I said, I'm 16 and I'm a sophomore in high school. And I was born after 9/11, which means that not only has airport security always been a reality for me, but so has the fact that the world is ending and that it's human caused. You know, in school, there are so many ifs. People are like, I want to be this when I grow up, or I want to see this when I grow up, if it's still around by then, if climate change hasn't destroyed it by then. So it's always been looming over me in the back of my mind, but no one ever tells kids that we can do anything about it, and especially since I am not able to vote, you know, there's zero substantial change that I was told that I could make. You know, there's the things that say recycle and take shorter showers, but those are just, and that's valid. Like, we should be taking those little actions, but it's systematic change that is needed, and no one ever told me that other than making small adjustments to my own life that I could do anything about this huge catastrophic issue. So fast forward to 2016 and the 2016 election. I've always been a political nerd. I grew up watching the Colbert Report instead of Hannah Montana, like most of my friends.
Good. We need you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I grew up watching that. So I grew up with a very political satire-formed mind, as well as The Daily Show, nine-year-old me watching The Daily Show. But so I was already a political nerd, and in 2016, I was an intern on Hillary Clinton's campaign. And then she lost. And I know she wasn't nearly, you know, she's been pretty problematic on the environment, but it's a totally different story with Donald Trump. And so at the beginning, right after the election, I was just totally defeated. I was just depressed and I was crying. And that lasted for about a month and a half. And then my passion has always been, you know, climate change. So it's actually misleading to say my passion is climate change. I hate thinking about it. It's like saying my passion is stopping a ticking time bomb. It's not like I particularly like thinking about that ticking time bomb, but it's there and we need to stop it or else we're all going to get destroyed. So that's kind of my quote-unquote passion for climate change. It's not so much, isn't this fun to talk about and think about as much as it is like, oh my God, everything's at stake. So anyway, I finally realized that I couldn't just sit back and avoid thinking about climate change, because that's what I've been doing for a while, is just avoiding thinking about it. You know, because it's just so hard to sit there, and especially as a young person, and know that, you know, who knows what my future is going to look like. And so I joined a local organization called Plant for the Plant, and one thing came after another, and my involvement snowballed. Soon I was a full-time community organizer outside of school on environmental issues. I became a plaintiff on the Youth BeGov lawsuit in Washington State, and then the 2017 summer happened, and I founded Zero Hour because, you know, enough was enough. I had reached that point where I had been working and working and working on climate stuff, and there wasn't any substantial change that was being made, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Enough is enough. Like, young people need to make waves, and we need to be heard on this, because it seriously is enough, and there's no more time to take action. And so I founded Zero Hour, and Zero Hour is a youth-led organization. We are high school students from across the country working on calling for an end to business as usual on climate change, and we are organizing some actions this summer, a weekend of youth climate action. On July 19th, we're going to be lobbying the Senate, and on July 20th, we're going to be having art bills in preparation for the big event, the July 21st Youth Climate March, where young people are going to flood the streets and call for an end to business as usual on climate change. And so that's pretty much what Zero Hour is in a nutshell, though later in the interview, I'd be happy to go a little bit more in depth. But yeah, that's my story, and that's how Zero Hour got started.
So, what, you know, there's a lot going on for me as someone who cares deeply about this issue, obviously. I just have to reflect on, there's a part of this that is so sad for me because of what you have to have on your brain when you're 16 years old. And indeed, it started long before that. It's like, I talk about this a lot. I wasn't thinking of these things when I'm 16. The segue that I want to make, though, is you really get it. And I'm saying you really get it. The clock is ticking. People live unconsciously, and you're right about those things that I tell people, you know, turn the water off when you're doing this and when you're brushing your teeth, and don't use plastic water bottles. And that is such a tip of the iceberg. It's like a gateway to bigger things, in my opinion, because it's going to take a heck of a lot more than that. So what? You know it. I mean, I don't have to even tell you. What I want to know is if you have any insight, like, are a lot of your friends this concerned? I don't understand why people don't get it, that this is the biggest threat that our civilization has ever faced, and that we can either be helping it or harming it. What's the spirit of the friends that you hang around with?
Well, I can't speak for all young people.
Right,
I mean,
right.
My friends are pretty, you know, aware, and they're concerned about climate change, and no one I know denies it, but it's not like an imminent, like, oh my God,
right,
kind of thing. It's like, yes, this is an issue, a bummer, you know, sad that the ice caps are melting, but it's not like, oh my God, this is affecting me. But the people I work with in Zero Hour totally get it. The students who are helping me organize the Youth Climate March on July 21st, they totally get it. And the way we got started really is I Instagram messaged a few of my friends, and I was like, who I knew were like very, very concerned about this. And I was like, let's get this started. And then we reached out to frontline communities who've already been feeling, the impacts to make sure that those voices are there on the table. So we're working with some of the Standing Rock youth and some of, some youth who, there's this one girl named Iris on our team whose family lost their farm to flooding, and all these people who have actually felt the experiences. So the people on the team, like, really get it.
And they want to be active about it. So when you get people engaged, when you get your peers and young people around the country, what kind of action do you tell them to take? You know, we say one of our slogans is we are disruptors for good. We do the good thing, the right thing for ourselves and for all inhabitants of the planet. And you are definitely a disruptor for good. What do you ask? What is your call to young people or anybody? It's not, I'm sure, not exclusive, because I would march in this march. What's your call to them? What do you want them to do when they join the movement?
When they join, there are several things. You know, we're not just mobilizing for the sake of mobilizing.
Right.
We are lobbying on July 19th with specific demands for our leaders. The big demand of our march is for our leaders to divest from fossil fuels, because we can't expect climate action to be taken if they're in the pockets of fossil fuels, if our politicians are in the pockets of fossil fuels. So what we're asking our leaders, what we're asking the young people to do is, first of all, we're asking them to join us. We're asking them to march. We're asking them to, you know, share about us on social media and tell their friends and hang up flyers and all of that good stuff. But, and, you know, so this action can really make waves and reach national headlines. But in terms of what we want them to do afterwards is we want them to really be politically vocal and take action in their communities in terms of, you know, if there's a fossil fuel project proposed, or if there is something wasteful, or if, you know, whether it be whatever, for them to take action on that and farther than just their own personal, their personal action. So take a step further than just recycling, but instead, you know, maybe campaign to get solar panels on your school, or if you're on the front lines of, you know, like in Tacoma, which is close to it's a little ways out, but it's here in Washington State. They're building a liquid natural gas site, which is the last thing that we need. And so a lot of indigenous youth are fighting that, but I think a lot of youth with privilege, just they kind of sit there and they're like, well, like some friends I know who live in Tacoma, they're like, this is really bad and I hate that they're building this and I'm scared about the air quality here, but oh well, there's nothing I can do. 0 hour is shattering that and saying there's not enough time to be insecure. There's not enough time. Like, this is 0 hour. There's not enough time to be like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if, you know, I've never protested before. Like, we're just asking youth to get out there and be on the front lines and fight back. And it makes me kind of sad that I have to ask people to do this, and that we have to be marching and lobbying and practically getting on our knees and begging our leaders, like, can I breathe clean air? Can I have a livable planet? But that's what it's come to, so we have no choice but to raise the alarm.
So do you think one of the ways, I mean, it blew me away, I remember all of the press, which had actually got pressed, the Giuliana versus United States case, where kids are suing the government for failing to take care of them, to take action on climate and saying we have a right to a clean, healthy, and livable planet. It got attention. You know, who hears about it now? You did one in Washington, a constitutional climate action lawsuit. Is this a way that you kind of get attention? Because without voting, I think some adults would not take it as seriously. And I'm going to say, look at Parkland. They did that, and were they ever sorry? That's not going away. So is this a way, one way to get your voices to be heard is by taking it to the legal system?
Well, we're really just attacking it at every system possible.
Got
you know,
it.
We have to work on every level. So with 0 hour, we're taking to the streets and politically and the political systems, and also just the grassroots activism of just marching and mobilizing and you know, disrupting and also getting press attention and getting people, those visuals of young people marching and asking for a livable future to hopefully inspire world leaders and inspire leaders in every front to take bold, radical action. And so we're hitting the streets, we're hitting the courts, we're the legislatures, like everything. We have to get this at every level possible.
So who's helping you with filing a lawsuit? I mean, that's a big deal. How do you get help or something like that?
Oh, no. Young people aren't just randomly filing lawsuits. It's one organization filing them with pro bono lawyers and youth as plaintiffs. So it's Our Children's Trust is the organization, and they're filing it. Like, they're lawyers. Like, it's not just kids who are randomly like, let's sue the government.
No, I didn't think that. What I was going to ask you. How what is the process for that? Because I didn't think you were just randomly firing it. I know the one for Juliana versus the United States, it was a very, very well thought out, highly, highly visible and comprehensive lawsuit. I mean, it's a big deal. So what about why now? Is it because of the urgency? Is it because you're fed up? But why is this climate action movement needed right now at this point in history?
Because there is no more time. The tipping point that some scientists say that we have to turn this around is between, let's say, I'm a sophomore in high school right now. By the time I go to college, so within the next 3 years, we should already be radically, drastically dropping emissions and, you know, planting trees to suck up emissions and, you know, switching to a totally renewable energy economy. Like, that's how urgent it is. And so when we say this is zero hour, it's not a fancy name. It's not something catchy. We're literally like, our logo is a clock with a tiny sliver of time left of the earth. That, we're not kidding. Those are not just visuals. Those are not just graphics. We mean it. And by, it's important in this moment in time because we only have a few more years to really turn this around. And that doesn't mean that if we don't turn it around in a few more years, then you know, I'm going to keep fighting. You know, I'm going to go down fighting.
Right,
but if
right.
we really want to, you know, save civilization as we know it, it's not within the next decade that action needs to be taken. It's within the next month.
Right. You're so right. I mean, you're absolutely so right. I just want to ask you if you're familiar with Paul Hawken's book. It's really just, he was just the lead author, Project Drawdown. I don't know if you've seen that yet. And if not, I highly recommend
it. I've heard of it, but I haven't read it.
Well, when you'll want to have a copy like by your bedside. And I'm not kidding. I just had a meeting with Physicians for Social Responsibility, and they're giving it to people in elected office, you know, all over the country. There's a big movement to do that because it has solutions. It has answers. And it does certainly make the compelling case for our time is now and let's do more of these. In your experience and with people you're working with, what do you think today's leaders need to be doing so that younger generations inherit a livable planet? You have a right to that. What should leaders be doing? It should be your right.
It is, and that's what we're suing for, and that's what we're marching for and lobbying for and all of that. Well, first of all, no more fossil fuels. The first step to getting out of a hole is to stop digging. So that means none. We have to completely cut our emissions, like 100%. Well, actually, you can't do that immediately, but you have to go 10. What scientists say is we have to go down by 10% every year, starting now.
Right.
So we have to draw down our emissions, and we have to plant like a trillion trees total, which is what, again, James Hansen, which is where I'm getting the science from. I'm not pulling it out of nowhere. He's one of the founding fathers of climate science, says, because even if we stop polluting like right now and there's no more emissions, that still won't be enough. We need some technology to suck the carbon out of the air. And that technology is a tree. And there is no man-made technology that has ever been able to do this better than trees. So reforestation and protecting the current forest and making sure no more get cut down, and then planting more trees and, you know, urban forests, you know, trees in cities, trees in parks, trees in forests that have been burned down or forests that have been cut down. So that's another step. And then, you know, transitioning to a renewable energy economy and making sure that, you know, we invest money in like reparations and paying back the communities, like indigenous communities and communities of the global south and low-income communities who have been bearing the toxic burden of the climate crisis. So then there's that justice aspect. But yeah, that's what we need to do. Well, and we have all of the technology, and it's here. There's nothing else we need. We just need to do it.
So that is why I'm just going to highly recommend to you Get Project Drawdown. The entire book was a three-year, and it's ongoing, scientific. It was basically canvassing every available science on the planet today. And it's called Drawdown, as in these are technologies, movements, forests, you name it, of the top 80 solutions to re-sequestering carbon. That's why it's called Drawdown. So you're right, we have to take it out of the air. And I got to interview Paul Hawken and Catherine, who is the lead writer. I actually got to meet her, but it's, you know, what Paul Hawken said is, there have got to be things that are working already. I know of some of them. Let's do a call to action. And it was really an international project that is getting big attention. It's being printed in Chinese and Japanese, and it's going all over the world of things that we can already, that are already in place that we can implement. And I thought it was interesting. And they rank them based on the amount of carbon that they sequester. They literally did the science to measure it. And number six was educating women and girls. And number seven, it had to do with also with basically controlling the population. So it's a very comprehensive look at what we have to do starting right now. What about your intersection with other organizations, with other movements? Because there's power in numbers. What are you doing in terms of Zero Hour, you know, connecting with other movements to make it bigger and more impactful?
Well, we're working right now on connecting with most of the environmental community and indigenous communities. So that's where outreach has gone right now. But we're starting to look into reaching out to, you know, feminist organizations and Black Lives Matter organizations and social justice organizations of all kinds, because it all intersects. You know, Black Lives Matter has a lot to do with the environment, because, you know, 63% of coal plants are placed in communities of color. So
yes.
Communities of color bear the toxic burden. So then that affects health, and that's killing, you know, people of color, just like guns are. So it is a social justice issue. And we are right now, we're just kind of continuing to do some more environmental reaching out, but getting closer, we're going to do a lot of reaching out, and hopefully definitely we will be reaching out to social justice organizations.
Yeah, I don't think that you're stoppable, and that makes me feel better about the world. What about, tell us about the march, because we're about to wrap up. The march is July 21st in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And the way, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the way to find out about it, I want to make sure that all of our listeners know how to find out about you, which I, of course, did, and follow you on your social media so that people know. I think that's, you know, it's huge.
Yeah. So if you guys listening want to be a part of making history and turning the tide on the climate crisis and calling, you know, it Zero Hour on this issue, go to thisiszerohour.org. It's easy to remember because all our social media tags and hashtags and our website is This Is Zero Hour. So go to thisiszerohour.org, and on the website you'll find more information about the march. It's on July 21st, 2018 in D.C. We've already had some people reaching out to organize sister marches, but there's still very few. So if you're interested in organizing a sister march, just reach out to us on the email on our website. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for updates. And we also do features of the youth on our team, so you can meet some of the amazing youth taking action. It's at This Is Zero Hour for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I'm also encouraging, you know, putting on a mass mobilization is not easy. None of us are working for free. You know, I work about 4 hours a day on this. Like, it's intense on top of my full-time job of being a high school student.
Right.
If you could, you know, it does take money to put these things on. So on the website, there's a donation button. If you have anything, even $5, even a little bit helps to make this mobilization a success. None of it goes to paying anyone. It all goes to just organizing the event. So be assured that your money is going straight towards the organization of this movement. So yes, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at This Is Zero Hour, thisiszerohour.org for our website, and that has links to RSVP for the march and links to donate and volunteer as well.
Well, I can tell you that we have a really loyal and robust following around the world and around the country and in different parts of the country. And we will be doing our part to fuel your movement. No pun intended.
Thank you so much.
It won't be with fossil fuel, though. It'll be with social media because you're right. Number one, keep it in the ground. It's the number one thing.
It's
what we've got to do. So thank you. And my reflection to all of our listeners is that Jamie's 16 years old, and think about how articulate she was in this interview, the power that you have in your voice, Jamie, and your commitment to making the world a better place for all of us. Like, who doesn't benefit from trying to impact climate change and slowing it down? We all deserve it. And thank you for doing what you're doing. And I wish you nothing but the best. And we'll be watching. We'll be following you on social media and helping to elevate the visibility of this movement. So thank you for everything
awesome.
You're
thank
doing.
Thank you. Don't just watch. Get involved.
See that? I mean, there you go. You get the final word. Don't just watch. Get involved. And I'm going to end it there. Thanks, everybody.